Revolutionary talk for revolutionary times. Liberty Talk FM.
Good morning. Welcome to Medicine on Call. There's a lot of things going on today, and you know, I might heart and prayers with the congressman who was shot, just so we can get that out there. No one deserves to be a victim of any type of violence, so hopefully he's okay. Now I want to turn the page and talk about our healthcare system. You know, they're putting through this healthcare bill again. I think the president met with 13 congressmen yesterday and told them that they needed to soften up on the tenets of the healthcare law that they've proposed. Part of me agrees with that. I mean, they're not doing anything, as I've spoken before, to decrease the cost of health insurance or healthcare costs in general. All they're doing is shifting the cost to older people. So instead of the millennials having to pay the brunt of this, now it's the seniors or anybody over 50, essentially. So I can't stress this enough. This is not fixable. You need to scrap it. But if you're not going to do that, or for political reasons you don't have the will to do it, then you need to encourage a parallel system that will work around this and allow people to make a choice about what they want to use as their healthcare entity. If they want to stay in Obamacare, good luck to them. But hey, who am I to stand in your way? You can have that all day. If you want to pay for it using Christian Sharing Ministries, if you want to pay for it out of pocket, if you want to use your health savings account to use or to access the healthcare system any way you see fit to do so, that's how they should be approaching this. This is just, you know, it's never going to work because you have a wall that you have to try to go through. Why beat your head against this wall? Just go around it. Unless, of course, you don't want things to change. And I think no one even speaks about that. But I'm not a big fan of either party, as you know. But I don't think the Republicans are really, their hearts and minds are not in this. They don't want to change anything. I think if they were, and if they really had American interest at heart, they would have already had a law crafted, ready to go. We've been talking about this for 8 years, and nothing, they had nothing on the launch pad. Well, I guess they didn't expect that the Republicans would take power, maybe. But still, I mean, it's been, what, how many months are we into this now, Dave? Almost 7 months. And they still don't have a plan. And the plan that the House put forth is so flawed that it doesn't serve anybody except the insurance companies. And that's what I want to turn my attention to today. Back, I don't know, maybe about 2 weeks ago, let me see what date it was. On June 2nd, an article came out in the LA Times that Blue Cross Blue Shield, which is a big surprise, not, was going to start a new policy where they were going to, quote, punish patients for, quote, unnecessary emergency room visits. Now, put your thinking caps on for a second, and do you have a problem like I do with an insurance company who has interests that are opposite to the patient? Because, as I said before, their job is to collect a premium and not to pay out. That's how they make their money. So, with that in mind, does it make sense to you that they're going to get to decide what constitutes an emergency room visit and then deny it or never pay for it? So now they have even more, or I should say annexing more power to practice medicine without a license. This is essentially what they're doing. How do they know what an emergency room visit is? How do you know what chest pain is? How do you know if it's abdominal pain, if it's a ruptured aorta or heartburn? How do you, from a bureaucratic seat on the outside looking in, make this pronouncement from on high that everybody else is to follow? Forget the doctor. I mean, we're really like ninth class citizens at this point. But a doctor is stating in a medical record that the patient was appropriately treated for an emerging condition. That should supersede everything. But they're going to be able to, after the fact, look at the diagnosis. I'm not even sure they're going to review the chart. You'll probably have to appeal by sending the paperwork out there. But just by the diagnosis alone, deny the person care. Why would anybody want to carry health insurance with that in mind? Why waste your money? You might as well save it, go to the ER, God forbid you have to, and pay cash. Because I can tell you right now, as the, I don't know, 8+ years I've been on the show, doing the show, it's cheaper to carry or to access our healthcare system by using cash than it is to use your insurance card. Just keep repeating that. It doesn't make any sense, but it's the absolute truth. And until unless we as doctors and patients wake up to that fact and start using our pocketbook as power, we're going to get more of this. This is what we both, as healthcare pieces of the healthcare system, have wrought upon ourselves. Doctors by being, I don't know, I don't even want to say anymore that it's, we only care about our patients because we're not being able to treat our patients anymore. We're in a position where we can't even do a surgery, see a patient, without somebody looking over our shoulder and telling us we're evil, that we did it for the money, that we don't care about our, I'm done with that. And until patients really wake up and say, we're worthy, this is what you're going to get. Do you really think that single payer is going to be any better than this? Do you honestly, in your heart of hearts, think you're going to get something for free? That you're going to walk into a doctor's office and demand services or a hospital? Are you insane? Never going to happen. But what they will do is charge you more taxes. They will take more deductibles from you. They'll take more coinsurance from you. And they'll decide what constitutes healthcare. And it's not going to be what you want. It's going to be what they tell you you get. And to top it off, and if you really want to go to the nth degree, they're going to demand you do certain things. Your ability to have informed consent is gonna go by the wayside. It already has in hospitals. When you roll into a hospital and you're not able consciously to make any kind of statements, they shoot you up with vaccines, they give you antibiotics in case, like antibiotics that can destroy your hearing, for example, because they're worried about staph infections. All these things that go into play as an automatic algorithm. Not only are they big ticket items, but they're potentially dangerous to patients. And they don't shouldn't be one size fits all. Why should you be on an antibiotic for prophylaxis or prevention when they don't even have a culture on you? I mean, they do the blood culture, but can't they wait until the results of the culture is known? Do they even have to give you a flu vaccine? Well, you know, if you're in an ICU and your immune system's already shot, does it really make sense to get a flu vaccine on top of that? Do you really need it? How do they know you didn't get it 6 months before? And I can tell you they're tripling and quadrupling their charges on these things because of facility fees and black hole miscellaneous. It is an absolute cartel. And it's not about healthcare anymore. You are monetized just like doctors are. And you are a cost center. And you're trying to decide and have decided what constitutes the best practices to make the most money off of you. Wake up. I refuse to practice medicine like that. And there's a growing number of doctors who have finally seen the light and have realized you can't play the game with these people because it only gets worse. All you do is cede more power and you end up being more on the hook. It's not appropriate. It's just not worth it. As the patient, I don't think you guys are there yet, but I'm hoping you're getting there with being able to have some skin in the game, but know what how the game is played. And last week we had a gentleman on the show who talked about how you could access doctors, know what the price is up front, actually be healthcare consumers, and take control of your pocketbook. And this is not even about, oh, it's okay, let the insurance company pay for it. I'll just do, you know, I'm going to get care and I'm going to get a discounted rate. I'm just going to just play along. Well, when you play along, you actually get substandard medical care now. So it's not equal. It's now a two-tier system fully rigidly in place. And those people who are savvy, who shop, who know what they want and can dictate the price or know what the price is, those are the people who are getting better care than you are if you play this game wrong by just going along. And as long as that happens, it's going to continue to go. It's like limbo. How low can you go? It's going pretty low. And it's in a position now where they'll treat you just enough and then discharge you, not want to readmit you, and put you in a hospice when you cost too much money. It's an absolute conveyor belt at this point. It's not appropriate, it's not ethical, it's not moral. But while these people on the sidelines who don't have to deal with the system tell you you're racist, sexist, xenophobic, whatever phobic they want to put on it because you have questioned this, it's time to say to those people, if it's so awesome, why don't you take it too? Why don't you go to the ER and get questionable diagnoses, have to pay the price? Don't use your congressional, one-upsmanship. Buy it like the rest of us and see what it's like. I bet you would stop tomorrow if they actually had to go through the same system that we do. They're writing these laws that don't apply to them. That's not democratic representation, in my opinion. That is totalitarianism. They're a monarchy. They're some sort of protected class above the rest of us. And it's not just medicine. It's throughout the whole system. Remember, Dave, when they passed the law that they could insider trade, that they can, and it was legal for them to do it, but not for anybody else? They're writing the laws on this stuff, yet they can still benefit from it. And why do you come in? Well, no one's poor when they get there. I'm pretty sure of that. But you come out as a multiple millionaire when you come out of Congress. Hello? Is there something wrong with that?
It'll be interesting to see if Karen Handel wins Georgia 6th. Right now, her net worth is approximately $200,000 as she filed it. Ossoff, if he wins, his net worth is $1.5 million as he filed. You wonder, like somebody asked yesterday, you wonder what Karen Handel is in her late 50s, at least. You wonder what she's been doing all this time that she and her husband have a net worth of $200,000.
Well, she technically has been working for the people, right?
Yeah.
So she's been in various government positions, right?
So she goes, if she were to win, it'll be interesting in 2 years to see what she's worth.
I agree. Yeah. Just go up on Capitol. Look at, I think there's a website you can go and look at the congressional members' web pages, and it tells you, first of all, how effective they are, you know, how many laws they've sponsored. And
some of them are effective.
I'm saying it says that. I'm not saying it's like 10%, 5%. Okay, but no, it lists what they've put forth as bills, you know, their effectiveness, how much they're worth, their net worth. There's a lot of millionaires up there. From congressional districts, you're like, okay, that's not a very wealthy congressional district, so what's up? Or they have land, you know, they own land or other things, other ventures, but they get to vote on and bring up, this is the ultimate inside baseball. You get to bring up the law. You can craft it in such a way that you screw over your competition. This is just a huge centralization, and it's fascism by definition. Every time you hear the word public-private partnership, you should cringe, because that means the government has picked somebody to help at the expense of competition.
You know, many years ago, I mentioned this to you before, but many years ago, in my ad agency, we represented several different people running for basically state positions. And, you know, I don't take any of the blame away from our national politicians or our state politicians. But I think I would hope that people understand that it's not just them. They're humans. And from this, I don't even mean the minute. I mean literally, I have seen it within seconds of the results being in, that they get a call from whoever, be it a pharmaceutical, be it a, you know, whatever it is. Hey, Elena, congratulations on winning. Listen, anytime you need my big chess or my plane, just give me a call. They are just overwhelmed by people offering them stuff. you know, the laws have been changed where, you know, some of that can't be done, like in medicine, you know, with
We can't get a pen now, Dave. Yeah. A pen makes you write a prescription. You can't get a cup. Yeah. Okay.
But you know what I mean.
I do.
I mean, those people are human. I put myself in their position.
No, I don't,
Dave. How much would I turn down?
No, they took an oath to protect the Constitution and to represent their constituents. I totally don't give them a pass.
Well,
and as they wouldn't me as a physician.
No,
that's illegal. It's criminal.
There,
it's low. It's what moral turpitude, whatever you want to call it, right? You get a crumb, you get a junket to East Asia, you get a golf trip, and all of a sudden you're passing law. Let's take a break because I need to calm down. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I needed the last 2 minutes to calm down. It was just such a double standard hypocrisy on parade.
Why shouldn't everybody not calm down and be upset? And I'm hearing this from more and more of our hosts, more of people that are coming in. And it's going to be interesting to see how the shooting plays out today. But people are really getting tired of the finger pointing and the this and the that and all these damn hearings and, you know, that go nowhere.
It's a strategy.
Yeah.
And, you know, today one of the Democrat operatives basically stated, which we all knew, but now it's out there, they're going to do this until election. They're going to run the Russia meme until election. And there's no basis for it, and there's no smoking gun, and there's no evidence. It's all innuendo. But, you know, I fault the administration. Shut it down.
Yeah.
Arrest people. They committed crimes. Why do we keep talking about it's illegal to, you know, steal government, you know, classified information? Well, isn't it illegal for it to be printed? So you've got the Times, you've got Washington Post, you've got all these venues where these leakers go to, but there's no consequence. And there's no consequence apparently for anything. And I'm not a left-right paradigm person, but people who are more progressive or profess to be progressive, because again, language means something. Being liberal in the classic sense is not what the progressives are.
No.
It's about you live your life how you want, just don't encroach upon my freedoms, and we're good to go. That's not how these folks operate. You hurt my feelings, you can't speak, you're a bully, shut you down, stop, cut down your advertisers. If you don't like something, don't watch it. Okay, but it's okay to do over the line, let's go after 11-year-old kids, let's cut heads off, fake, you know, use the N-word. These people are supposed to be the diversity, you know, mavens, and they're pulling out racist stuff constantly and then getting a pass. That Bill Maher thing, you know, I don't get sensitive about stuff, but that was over the line. You're going to make fun of somebody's pain. This is slavery we're talking. This is not some little, you know, thing. It happened to a people who were still injured and damaged by it. Is it fun? Is it funny to you? But you're supposed to be social justice warrior, you know, soldier. But you get a pass from the same Congressional Black Caucus, all of these Democratic operatives. They're like, okay, well, just it wasn't good, but it's okay. Had it been on a Republican side, I can tell you we would still be talking about it. He would be off air. It would be talked about ad nauseum. This wasn't, like, subtle. This was in your face, inappropriate. But it's okay. That's the problem I have. It's a one-sided, hypocritical, and it doesn't even serve your ends or your purpose. If you are for social justice, are you really going to back and legitimize an ideology that hates women, hates gay people, is about destruction and murder? It's not about inclusiveness. It's about you join us or you die. How on earth can you champion that? Is there not some, I don't know, in your brain telling you, like, this is kind of wrong. I can't go here. I mean, and then, I mean, this, we're going off topic because it's not necessarily a political show in that classic sense, but it does go down to psychology, the psychopathy of these people who like to be victims, but get in bed with the people who victimize them. I don't get that.
You know, it does have to do with medical, because if Sharia law were to become anything, it would destroy what little is left of the medical system.
I wouldn't be a practicing doctor anymore.
No. And I mean, it would, but I'm like you. I shake my head. I've gotten where I know better than to watch the news before I go to bed. And you don't know what you're getting. I have not been a big Sessions fan, particularly, but at least the little guy had the guts to stand up and say, you know, enough. It's you're calling me a liar. You're calling me names, and I'm not those names.
Well, yes, you need to stand up for your reputation. You know, what they did is just lie about the guy, and they lied about Trump too, I think.
Yeah.
To tell you the truth, but it's innuendo. It's like it's painting. It's just the whiff of something that's not legal, but you can't. There's no proof of anything. And this is my thing too. I listened to this on a drive this week, Thursday, whatever. And I was struck by the fact that you knew or you thought that Russians were colluding or whatever, but the administration that was in power did nothing. Is that a problem? If you know for a month, they knew for a year. It's 2015, he said. What the hell did they do for that entire year? Let it just run? I mean, that doesn't make sense, and they should be held accountable for allowing an election, if it's true, to go through, to happen when they knew, or in their minds, it was tainted. They wanted it to happen. Just like if you're having a meeting with the president, you're sitting there going, I shouldn't have this meeting, but you don't say anything, then that means you're entrapping somebody. He's not a politician. He's not a lawyer. He's like a businessman. You have conversations. That's what you do. His frame of reference is different. Would it have been so hard to say, I'm sorry, but this is out of bounds. I can't do it, if you were not trying to entrap somebody? That's what you would say. Give them the heads up. And then if it kept going, then you can have a problem.
Oh, I agree.
I watch enough legal shows on TV to figure that one out. I mean, this is like a setup. And then you wrote stuff about the guy that it sounded very personal, very just nasty.
You know what I find very interesting? It came out this morning, as a matter of fact. And, you know, I've been somewhat disappointed, but at the same token, it doesn't take a genius to realize that Trump's been blocked by what we see on TV as well as what we don't see, and I'm sure that what we don't see is even worse. But the interesting thing about old Trump is, and it came out this morning, you know, he stated that the election, there was corruption in the election.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, no, you know, Pelosi said no.
Yeah, whatever.
And now that's come out that Indiana is one of the stinkiest states going.
Yeah.
With 12-year-olds voting, you know?
Yeah, people dead voting.
My point being is that it's amazing how many things Trump has said, and at the
that
time
are true.
He says them, everybody throws rocks at him, and then 2 weeks later they find out, well, son of a gun, you know?
Exactly. Or that there was inappropriate uncloaking of people for national security.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not legal, and it happened to everybody. But that gets a pass. So what he said was actually true. But you have all these things that have happened. You technically have a Justice Department that, you know, is going in to clean house. Why aren't we seeing, unless, of course, everything's happening underneath the scenes and their grand juries being impaneled and all this stuff is going on, we wouldn't know. I hope it is, because there's all these people who've committed all sorts of crimes.
Oh, if I were Trump, and I'm not, and I haven't exactly got a direct line to him either, but I'd keep my mouth shut, I'd keep my fingers off the keyboard, and I'd just tell Sessions to be a bulldog. go after any and everything that moves. I think that the Clintons should be hung by their ankles. Loretta Lynch what's her name that was with the IRS?
Lerner.
Lerner, yeah.
Yeah.
On and on and on. Go after him. If he wants to clean the swamp, and if it's the Republicans, get them to.
Get everybody. It's not a party issue. It's a country issue. And we have. There's lawlessness going on. There's insubordination. There's outright crimes. There's libel and defamation. You name it, it's going on because people are hell-bent on keeping their power. And it doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. It all stands on the same shaky ground. I'm here. I want to stay here. I want to keep getting my crumbs, and I don't want anybody to stop me. And we have to remember that he wasn't part of the system. So he stands against, in opposition, to both the Democratic and Republican machines. I think people forget that, but he's not head of the Republican Party, really. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call.
Affordable health insurance was the promise of Obamacare. But for many, the government mandate caused more problems than it solved. This is Dr. Elena George from Medicine on Call, and I want to tell you about a truly affordable alternative allowed under Obamacare, Liberty HealthShare. Liberty HealthShare bypasses doctor and hospital panels, giving you the freedom to choose. And with a maximum of $500 out-of-pocket per person and 100% coverage up to $1 million per year per occurrence, you can rest assured knowing you and your family are protected. Coverage starts as low as $107 per month and also includes dental, vision, pharmacy, and holistic care. Liberty HealthShare puts you back in charge of your health. Visit them online at libertyoncall.org. Again, for a true affordable alternative to Obamacare, visit libertyoncall.org or call toll-free 1-800-714-6993 today.
Welcome back to Medicine on Call. I mean, the overarching thing that we're discussing really does apply to healthcare as well. We're talking about a status quo that is 1/6 of the economy, that is a money-making venture for the government at this point via Obamacare in taxes, in fines, etc. And we have crony capitalism at its most pure. Public-private partnership in the guise of insurance companies getting subsidies, of, I feel TARP, you know, I having a flashback to TARP. If the Republicans think that, okay, if we give you money and we pay for the people who are really ill and can't afford it by subsidizing you, you're going to lower your prices for everybody. Are you on crack? Now you got to be smoking crack now. We've gone beyond insanity. Now you've got to be on drugs to think that's ever going to happen. They're going to pocket that money and do what Blue Cross has just decided it's going to float a trial balloon to do. We're going to tell you what constitutes care, and we're not covering it. Doesn't matter if it's in your DSM. Doesn't matter if it's in your ICD-9 code as a thing. Doesn't matter if your medical specialties have put out guidelines for how you treat your patients. So what? We tell you what constitutes healthcare, and we're going to tell you what we're going to pay for. Period. End of story. No consequences. As I said, I wrote an article or a blog a couple weeks ago. If you were to change the law that if an insurance company denies an appropriate service by the doctor's criteria and the doctor's specialty society criteria, the patient has a bad outcome for whatever reason, then the insurance company gets sued. It would stop tomorrow. They've got no liability. They can do whatever they want. And what? These ERISA plans where the insurance company acts as the administrator for the employer. That's another Wild West situation. We're dealing now with going through the Cigna guidelines of why you do a procedure and following every bullet on the Cigna guideline list, now to be told it's what we decided is. Are you kidding me? I mean, and then he wanted a CT scan, a repeat CT scan. The person had two CT scans, which showed progressive disease. If you're a physician, you're a surgeon, I'm just going to lay it out here. If you have a CT scan that shows fluid polyp and it's filling up the sinuses, there is no reason to get another CT to tell you the exact same thing. You're going to put a patient under radiation to do it, and you're going to cost the patient money. And clinically, the polyps are staring you in the face in the exam room. You're going to tell me that it was not necessary, or I needed to get another CT scan, all sorts of things that they made up not to pay the actual claim. And that goes on every single day. It took me 2 years to win one claim. But I have the, you know, the gumption and the will to keep fighting, but most doctors don't. You might go to, I mean, we went through like six appeals, all right? We've gone through their system and had to go outside to a government agency, an inspector general, to get paid. But when it's an ERISA plan, it's a whole different ballgame. And you actually have to read the contract, which you don't have. All they give you is, it's a Cigna plan. So you're already working with one hand tied behind your back and blindfolded, and they just play games with you all day. Now, it's nothing for a hospital because they're going to get their money from other sources in their facility fees. But as a small business owner, this is devastating. This is, you did something for free, and now you have to come out of pocket to pay your employees, your equipment, and the patient's fine. The patient's better than ever. But you took the hit, and you can't even write it off on your taxes. Is this a good system? Is this conducive to having physicians who give a damn stay in the system? Just think about that. You get what you pay for. If you as a patient believe that my health services are a right, then you're going to piss on me all day. Sorry to get, you know, used, but that's what's going to happen. And I'm not going to take it. I'm leaving the healthcare profession. And leave you with, who cares? Mid-level providers, people who train for 6 months, people who don't speak your language, you can't understand them, they can't understand you, people who have to follow a paradigm or algorithm, otherwise they get their knuckles slapped by peer review. Good luck to you. And you get what you deserve as a patient because you didn't stand up for somebody who stood up for you. That's the system we're at. Patients against doctors, with the insurance company baiting it on. It's just what's going on now. It's like a microcosm of what's going on in Congress. But the more that happens, the more you're likely to get a substandard, lower level care, and you're going to pay more for it. That's what's been going on for the past 10 years. It's just really ramped up now. And the Republicans or the people who wrote these laws are still having them written by the same people who stand to gain. There's no physicians in there. I mean, I've gone up there. Maybe we got a couple of things inserted, maybe, but they still don't get it. And I was told, if you, as a physician, want us in Congress to listen to you, you cannot use the argument that it's hurting me as a physician. I can't practice medicine. That will turn them off, and they'll do more of that, I was told. You can't use that argument. They hate us. They think that we are the enemy. I hope they don't get sick up there, or maybe they have a different type of physician. Who knows? But it's adversarial, and the legislation bears that out. That's what we're dealing with.
What do you think of Emmanuel?
You mean the...
Zeke, or whatever his name is.
You mean the bioethicist? Yeah. Your bioethicist is like anti-medicine. You know, it's population-based medicine, where the good of the many outweigh the needs of the few. It's eugenics.
Oh, he's the one that basically wrote Obamacare.
That's correct. And it's eugenics, because they're deciding who's worthy. If you're old, you're not worthy. If you're poor, you're not worthy. If you're really young and sick, you're not worthy. Unless you're a viable taxpayer. That's the only people they really care about. And God forbid you come down with something high ticket, then they don't give a darn about you either because you're costing them money. This is a money-making venture. It's gone from the Hippocratic Oath, which is classic, written in the oath, You can't cheat a patient. You can't do things for money. You can't lie to your patient. You can't sleep with your patient. You can't perform abortion. And you can't kill somebody by euthanasia. It's pretty clear. I don't know what the lawyers take as an oath. I have no idea. But it's not that.
Lie, cheat, steal.
You can be a felon and be a Congress member. That should say all you need to know. You can't be a felon and be a physician. You're gone. They ask you these questions. Every time you went up to rejoin your medical staff, have you ever been convicted of a crime, a felony? Have you ever, are you in any kind of psychological duress? All these things get asked. If you say yes to that, you're not getting in. I'm not sure that's on the same side on the lawyer track. I'm not sure. And I'm sure it's not on the congressional track. I don't know what they do all day. I have no idea. I take it back. They raise money. That's what they spend. 99% of their time is spent getting money and meeting with people who can give them money. But nothing's for free, folks. So if they're getting money from someone it's not you, then they're going to represent their interests over yours. And the top 10 lobbyists are healthcare related. This is all you need. Fit the puzzle pieces in. They can only fit one way. They're all about making as much money. They're not nonprofit. And that nonprofit doesn't even mean anything anymore because it just means you don't pay taxes, but you make as much money as you can. It's in their interest to have a government subsidy. They're getting paid on both sides of this equation. You got money trough coming from the government. You've got money trough coming from co-pays. They're not even putting out money anymore. People are paying out $6,000, $7,500, $10,000 out of pocket before the insurance company kicks in the first dime. And you're paying a premium on top of that. And they have the nerve to say, there's only 24 million people being covered in this new... They should be happy. The people who aren't covered under that at least have a chance to get good health care. If everybody's covered under that system, you think it's going to be cheaper? I don't. The government will now have more power. And their job is, again, to collect money and do what they want with it. Social Security is a disaster. The mail system is a disaster. Medicaid sucks. And now they want to take over private health care. It's going to be more expensive and worse. There's nothing you can say, right?
This is getting off of medicine to a degree, but it's across the board. I think I supported going into Afghanistan initially, but I heard a congressman over the weekend say, and I went crazy because I've been there, done that, and lived through it, and we all did. But this congressman said, we're not going to be getting out of Afghanistan anytime soon. The generals and the powers that be that are the boots on the ground there want another. And this is what set me crazy. I almost called you because I knew I needed medical help. The boots on the ground, we need another 5,000 advisors.
Advisors?
When he said the word advisor, he didn't say advisor to me. He said Vietnam to me. We dug ourselves deeper and deeper. My God, if we can't go back in history and see that Russia, the nastiest country in the world, can't beat the Taliban, why in the hell do we think playing by the rules and playing PC we can beat them? My point being is that that's off the point of medicine, but it's not to the extent that as a country, we have to look at history. There has never been a utopian society that ever worked. It ain't going to work. You take from the rich and give to the poor, that only goes so far. And, it's to think that the progressives or the socialists have the answer is you're
only kidding
yourself.
Look at Venezuela. Just look at Venezuela. There's your answer. They just burnt down, what was it? I was a parliament. They burnt down something. Those people they've lost their entire society. they were one of the most stable, the most wealthy, Latin American, Central American societies out there, in the world for that matter. And they ran it into the ground. But see, this is not even about distributing wealth from the rich to the poor. This, don't you have a problem? Again, put on your thinking cap. People who are trillionaires, the richest people in the world, telling you that you should not take a shower, you should walk, you should live in the dark, because it's for the betterment of the world. You know what? If they were to give up maybe a quarter of what they've accumulated, they could stop a lot of this, but they're not doing that. They're making foundations and study groups and think tanks to keep the status quo going while they make us hate each other. And we're playing right into the game. We need to stop. On that note, let's take a break. You're listening to Medicine on Call. Welcome back to Medicine on Call. And then in the break, we were talking about a few things. And, you know, global warming was one of the things that we were discussing. Does anybody realize that it's not CO2 emissions? I asked my producer, Dave, what is the number one CO2 emitter? And he got the answer right. I don't know what you guys think, but the answer is us, human beings. And as soon as they get you to start walking and take a bus or a train, there's still never going to be enough. It's still going to be a CO2 problem. And then they're going to start talking about, oh, we're having too many kids. It's eugenics is what it is. And they're starting this, and you know, you put a cute polar bear, I love animals. It's hurt, you know, broke my heart to see a little polar bear on the ice, a little ice floe and surrounded by water. They use the same tactic every time. Pull a heartstring. If you have empathy, you know, your heart goes out. I'm like, I need to sacrifice for this poor little creature. Apparently the ice is actually growing in the Arctic. It's not the opposite. And remember, it started off with global cooling, right? Then it was global warming. Now it's climate change. You know what? Climate change happens every day when it's a different degree. It's 50 degrees one day, six. That's climate change, people. You can't win with these people. And the ultimate goal is to depopulate us, right? So if CO2 is an issue, then there's how many billions of people on the world, then the job is to reduce that. That's going to be the argument. After they get you sucked into the car and the living in the dark and walking, then there's too many of you. Come on, people, really. If you ever took biology and you know what photosynthesis is, then the answer would really be plant more trees if you're really worried about CO2. We would have lush greenery everywhere. And that would stop the problem. Is giving your money to some carbon trading entity making buku bucks on your misery, is that the answer? Or planting a tree?
Or Fat Al.
My God, he has apparently the biggest footprint in Tennessee from an electrical grid standpoint. I was telling Dave, this is hysterical to me. Having this whole thing about climate change, and it's so horrible and worrisome. Everybody takes a huge jet to go talk about climate change. What happened to go to meeting or teleconference? I mean, they think we're stupid. But ultimately, we get what we deserve because we don't question anything. And we let people come on TV and preach at us and browbeat us and bully us into, you can't make a statement because you're a horrible person. You want people to die. If you're not a horrible person, you don't want people to die. There's nothing wrong with saying, I'm not a horrible person. Shut up. I'm not listening to you. These people go away when you question them. It's amazing. I like Tucker Carlson's show for that reason. If nothing else, he will put someone on the hot seat and make them cite a source and prove why they're saying what they say, and they never can. It's fascinating. They'll change the topic, they'll start over talking him, but they never give a straight answer. And that's what we as people need to demand. I'm done with them coming on these TV shows and making statements that they cannot back up, that they don't even know what they're talking about. They don't even have the facts. The only people with the facts are the doctor and the patient who have to deal with, I can't afford because I can't pay my out-of-pocket. I can't afford my premium. They've denied my care. Those are the people who should be creating or crafting this bill, law, whatever. Not the people who stand to gain by continuing to gouge us and tell us we should like it. That's the problem with that. And I really feel, and people are passionate because they live it. I feel bad for people who over the mile have been told, you should want single payer because your whole life will just be, it'll just be so much better. It's not. It's just doubling down on what it is now. Are you happy with your health care now? I would say, again, if you have a catastrophic illness and you get covered by Medicaid, I get that. And more power to you. And nothing would change, quite frankly, because that's a system that's set up. The EMTALA rule, you go to an ER with some sort of emergent condition. Nobody can deny your care. No one can ask you if you can afford to pay. No one can ask you if you're a citizen. So no one's dying in that regard. The actual routine care is what I'm complaining about. So you can't get in to see your doctor because you have diabetes and you have Medicaid and there are no doctors in your area that take Medicaid, or you have to wait 8 months to see the doctor. Those are the people who are suffering because of this. And making single payer will not make that better. As a matter of fact, it makes it worse in some instances because you have all these people coming into a system that's not equipped to take them. Look at California. They just passed a single payer bill, which is going to be a disaster. They can't even afford to pay it in Vermont. They've already done that, and they figured out, hey, we can't afford this. So what are they going to do, make taxpayers pay for free care? It's never going to be free. They're going to be taxed into oblivion for nothing, and they still won't be able to give those folks decent care because they don't have enough people in the system, one, to give it. The infrastructure, they've gotten rid of the community hospitals. Private practice doctors are out of business. There's only 30% of us left. So you're going to go into a hospital clinic or satellite clinic. You might be seen by a nurse practitioner, physician assistant, medical student, overseen by a doctor administrator who's in his or her office somewhere else looking at numbers, or case management nurses who are the gold standard of nursing. Those are the registered nurses. They're gone. They're deciding how you need to document so the hospital can get paid, leaving you in the care of someone who's been training for 2 years, if you're lucky, more likely 8 months, 9 months, from the stuff that comes off on TV. I'm like, think about that. Get what you pay for. You know, this is not a good law. Obamacare was worse. They were smart enough. It's devious. I'm going to give them credit. It was like an octopus with a tentacle everywhere. And they wanted it to be destroyed. So if you start taking things back, it destroys the system. It creates chaos. Hegelian dialectic. You create the chaos, and then you have the answer. The answer is going to be the government needs to take it over because it's in such disarray. And the government will use its friends of all these lobby groups, these insurance companies, hospitals, the AMA, AARP. They're all going to be in deeper. And you're not going to be able to, get them out of this because they're so integrated in it. And the government will be funding it. Follow the money. And once that money's in that pot, it doesn't get withdrawn. It just gets bigger because it's more, you have to have more administrators, more rules, more regulations, more ways to find out and to micromanage. There's nothing as good has come out of the electronic medical record system. It's a joke. It's cost doctors money. It's cost hospitals money. Now they're in a position of being blackmailed a lot of times, where someone hacks into the hospital system, holds the patient records for ransom until the hospital pays. But do you honestly think if you made a single payer system and you put it on the cloud, potentially someone could hold the whole country's medical record system hostage and take and sift through your information. And do what with it? Use it against you? Deny your ability to get a prescription? Who knows? There's all sorts of crazies out there who decide they just want to have fun. Just hack in for fun. Let's put it online, whatever this person's... You decide you want to go for a job, or some enemy against you can just out you. This person's got a medical condition that no one knew about. What about if it's a psychological thing? This person's being seen by a psychiatrist for X, Y, and Z. And this is the dirt. This is the note that the doctor put into the chart. It's not written anymore, locked off in an office. It's on a cloud. I have a problem with that. And of course, the vendor is never held liable. This is all about liability. They can say, oh well,
oops,
you messed up HIPAA, we didn't, so you're on the hook as a physician or the medical system. Not the vendor, who's supposed to make it locked, who's supposed to protect your data, who's supposed to make it easy for you to transfer that information to another provider. That hasn't even happened. It's been, you know, the High Tech Act has been around for what, 8 years now? And it's a disaster. I have to pay $10,000, they wanted me to switch a vendor from one, you know, medical record, electronic medical record company to another. It's a scam. It's a money-making venture. And again, just like the insurance companies, they don't have liability for when stuff happens. And they can't protect you. It's fraud. If you tell me that my stuff is locked and it's safe and it's not, then you sold me a bill of goods. I think that's the same thing that's happening in our healthcare law, in our system, and unless we do something, it's only going to get worse. On that note, on that pleasant note, look, you know, I hope you guys have a great week, and thank you for listening to Medicine on Call.